Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm so happy that you all were able to join us today. And once again, it's my pleasure that we gather in church and in our homes to worship our God together. So just say to you all at home, I miss you, I'm thinking about you, and I can't wait to see you again soon. With that said, there's one announcement today. And that is that the staff and the council have taken a lot of time this past week to prayerfully and seriously think about the strategy for reopening. Council had a special meeting last Thursday night where many decisions were made. Those are being compiled into a letter form, which will be sent out to the homes of our congregation early this next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. So please watch your email for that, for how we progress into the future. Please understand that these people are trying to do the very best. I mean, we all are. These people include me and the rest of the staff, too. We're trying to do our very best to protect the interests of everyone and to hear the voices of everyone and to provide an answer which we think is good and holy and right. So, watch for that. If you do not receive emails from the church, please call the church office and we'd be happy to send you a copy of that letter as well. With that, let us begin our worship this morning the way that we always do, by passing the peace of God to each other. So, the peace of the Lord be with you all. Now let's take some time and share that peace with the people around us. We continue with our confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us take a moment to confess our sin in the presence of God and of each other. A moment of silent reflection. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's own authority, I therefore declare to us the entire forgiveness of all of our sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Free from sin, let us join together in singing our opening hymn, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us and we shall be satisfied. Heal us and we shall be made whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the readings.
Today's first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Peter and John had been arrested the previous day because they were proclaiming the news of the resurrection to the people. In today's reading, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit so that he can proclaim salvation in Jesus' name to the religious authorities. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem. With Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family, when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, and that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Our responsive psalm is the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. Jesus' death on our behalf is the clearest demonstration of divine love. This is the very love we share with others, not just through our words, but especially through our deeds. In sharing such love, we fulfill God's commandments. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep to run away. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with the children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Hey, as you can see, I have a flock around me today, a whole flock of sheep. And I got to thinking that let's pretend for a minute that I'm a mama sheep. Baa, right? I'm a mama and I am looking for my sheep, my baby sheep, my lamb. And I'm looking and they all look the same. All of them look exactly the same. How do I know which one belongs to me? What do you think? How do sheep know which baby belongs to them? So let's pretend for a minute that you were in a room with a whole bunch of other kids, like just lots and lots of kids. Let's say there were 50 kids in one room, a whole flock of kids, a herd, a gaggle of kids. And your mama comes in and she wants to find you. But there are so many kids, how in the world would she know which one belongs to her? Well, there are lots of ways, right? One is she would know how you look, because we don't all look the same. The second thing is she'd probably know how you sound. Sometimes when I've been in the grocery store and one of my kids says, "Dad," clear across the grocery store, I know it's them. I know it's them. So I go and I find them and I see what's going on. So sometimes it's how we sound that they know. But I'm pretty sure that your parents would be able to pick you out of a room full of kids. Well, with sheep, it's a little different. They smell. They smell their babies. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Oh, there's my baby. You're stinky just the way I like my baby to be, right? That's how they tell. They can smell their babies in the flock. And they know that baby belongs to them. Well, the reason I'm talking about this is because Jesus said that we are sheep and that he's the good shepherd. And he knows his sheep and they know him. Right? He's talking about a relationship. He's talking about knowing who we are. I don't think he has to smell us to see if we belong to him. I think he can see our heart. I think he knows who we are. So Jesus sees you, who you are, right now, wherever you are, and he loves you. That's what it means to be the good shepherd. That he loves you, he cares for you, and he's protecting you every single day. He knows you, and Jesus says he wants us as his sheep to know him more and more too. So, keep learning about Jesus, okay? Capiche? Capache. Let's have a prayer, shall we? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for loving us and caring for us and leading us and taking care of us. Help us to listen to you and to get to know you more and more. Because we know that you know your sheep and your sheep know you. Help us to know you more and more. We pray this in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. And all God's children said, Amen. All right. So good to talk with you all again. I can't wait till I see your faces. And I probably don't want to smell you. I mean, you know, smell good when you come. But I can't wait to see you again soon. Bye, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Jesus said, or at least he implied, that you are a sheep. Wait a minute. Let me say that again. You are a sheep. Rude, right? I mean, of all the animals he could have called us, why didn't he choose something better than a stinky, stupid sheep? Why didn't he say, "You are mighty lions, strong and noble," or "You are majestic eagles soaring high above the world with grace and power"? Nope. You are a stinky, stupid sheep. How do you like that? Not very much, probably. I mean, it's slightly offensive to be compared to such a dumb and docile creature. And in our current culture, sheep has a really negative connotation. Someone who just blindly follows along, has no mind of their own, doesn't think for themselves, doesn't question anything, doesn't have any morals or standards or values of their very own, blah, blah, blah. Even the father of our country, none other than George Washington himself, said this: if the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led, like sheep to the slaughter. That last part has made our common lectionary, right? Like sheep led to the slaughter. We say that pretty often. It actually comes from the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. It says, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Now, you know that Old Testament lesson was about Jesus. He was the lamb. He was the sheep that was slaughtered. He was the suffering servant who gave his life for us. But that's not how we use that saying, is it now? We have twisted the meaning of the saying, if you are a sheep being led to a slaughter, there's an implication of stupidity, of passivity, of just going along with the flow. Well, like it or not, current culture be damned. In the gospel lesson from John chapter 10, Jesus himself pretty clearly says that if you believe in him, you are a sheep. If it makes you feel any better, sheep really aren't dumb. That's a misconception. There have been several studies recently that confirm that sheep can recognize over 50 faces of other sheep, of human beings even. They can find their way through a series of complicated mazes when they are properly motivated. Some people even think that sheep have emotions. Sheep seem more upset when little blasts of air or noises are projected over their heads when they're trying to eat. They bleat 4 times more when they are irritated, just like people. So maybe we aren't dumb, like we have traditionally been taught about sheep. But there are certain attributes of sheep that are applicable to who we are as the people of God. A man named Philip Keller, he was a sheep rancher. And in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, he says that sheep require more attention than any other livestock. They just can't really take care of themselves. They can't be on their own. Unless their shepherd moves them on, sheep will actually completely ruin a pasture, not a pastor, a pasture, eating every blade of grass until finally, formerly fertile ground is nothing but barren dirt. He says that sheep are nearsighted, stubborn, and easily frightened. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Let's talk about being nearsighted. Sheep eyes are on the sides of their heads, like many other animals, which gives them great peripheral vision. They can actually see behind themselves, 300 degrees of vision, which is awesome. Nothing can sneak up on them. They see some motion behind them or around them, and they get freaked out and run away. However, they are impaired a bit. They can't see very far right in front of them. Their eyes don't work together, so their depth of vision is severely limited. That sounds a bit like us. We do that, don't we? We get so obsessed and so distracted with what we see going on behind us or around us that we forget to see in the distance in front of us, where we are going, what we are trying to accomplish in the name of God, how God is leading us into a future. We get distracted by all this swirling around us, and we forget that we've been promised a future, that God has made a plan for us. Now, don't get me wrong. It's fine to see what's going on around us, even behind us. But God has not called us to live in the past. God has not called us to live with the spirit of fear of the things that move and change around us. God has called us to live in the here and now, and then to work our way into God's future. But don't you think, because of our tendency to be nearsighted like sheep, that we could use somebody to help us? We could use a shepherd, someone to lead us into that promised future, to tell us how to live our lives, to teach us what God wants us to do, what God wants us to say, even how God wants us to think. I know that we don't want to admit this, that we are sheep. We like pretending like we're all strong and independent and self-reliant. But that doesn't work forever. There is a limit to us. There's a limit to us. Can't you feel that? We're human. We need someone. We need someone to help us, to take care of us, and even to save us. Well, Jesus. You know, Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd. Keith Miller, a Christian author, wrote this. Years ago, when our daughters were very young, we dropped them off to church's children's chapel. That's really hard to say. Our church's children's chapel. On Sundays before the 11 o'clock service. Well, one Sunday, just as I was about to open the door to the small chapel, the minister came running up to me and he said he had an emergency and asked if I would be willing to speak to the children at their story time. He said the subject was the 23rd Psalm. So just as I was about to get up from the back row and talk about the Good Shepherd to the children, the minister burst into the room and signaled that he would be able to tell the story after all. He told the children about the sheep, that they weren't smart, that they needed guidance, and that a shepherd's job was to stay close to the sheep, protect them from wild animals, and keep them from wandering off and doing dumb things. Then he pointed at the children and he said that they were the sheep and needed lots of guidance. Then the minister put his hands out to the side like this, with his palms up in a dramatic gesture. And with his eyebrows raised, he looked at the children and said, "If you are the sheep, then who is the shepherd?" He was obviously indicating himself. A silence of a few seconds followed. And one of the children said, "Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd." The young minister obviously was caught by surprise at the boy's knowledge. And he said to the boy, "Well, then who am I?" And the little boy furrowed his brow, thought for a second, and then with a shrug, he said, "I guess you must be the sheepdog." Every once in a while, someone will call me the shepherd of this flock, the flock of Joy Lutheran Church. And I want to assure you today that I have no delusions of grandeur about who I am or what I have been called to. I'm not the shepherd. There is only one shepherd. I am a sheep, just like you. I'm trying to do the best that I can to follow Jesus, just like you. I need him. I need the real shepherd, the good shepherd, to lead me and guide me and save me because, well, quite frankly, when we go out on our own, trouble seems to follow us, doesn't it? I saw this video on Facebook the other day, and it totally cracked me up because it reminds me of myself. And you should know, it also reminds me of you. The caption read, "Me, immediately after Jesus saves me." Watch this. You ever feel like that? Well, there's a reason. It is the story of our lives. We get saved by Jesus, pulled out of the danger and set on the right course, and then immediately we jump into the ditch again. But there is good news today. The good news is Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who protects us. He's the one who pulls us out of the ditch over and over and over again, even if we do dumb things. And just so you know, he's the only one who has the words of life that give us hope and meaning and the future beyond the here and now. But there's a slight caveat in this relationship. We can choose to not follow him. We can go on our own. We can think, I am a mighty lion. I am a majestic eagle. I'm really important and smart and incredible. And I don't need anyone, absolutely anyone, to tell me how to live my life. Well, it doesn't really work that way. If we want to be a part of his flock, we have to follow him. We have to listen to him. We have to be willing to hear his voice over the tumult of this world. We have to be willing to hear his voice even over the sound of our own voice. There are so many people making loud noises around us that frighten us, that cause us to doubt the presence and the power of God in our lives. But in opposition to that fear, we can listen to the shepherd. We need to listen to his voice. Have you ever heard the word kulning, K-U-L-N-I-N-G? It's a Swedish practice of singing to bring your sheep home. They hear the voice, they hear the song, and they come. It's powerful. Listen to this. Do you see the love she has for those sheep? Do you hear the kindness and the welcome in the beauty of her song? Do you understand when she holds the sheep in her hands, when she caresses its wool and she kisses its nose? Do you know how much she loves that sheep? Do you think the sheep know? I think so. And that's it. That's all there is to it. That's who Jesus wants to be for us. He wants to be the shepherd who sings us home. He wants you and me to know that he cares for our daily lives and provides what we need. He knows us by name, and yes, he knows everything there is to know about us, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad. He knows it all. And in spite of all the knowledge he has about us, he still loves us. And he wants us to know and love him too. And then most importantly, He wants us to know because he said it three times in the gospel lesson for today. He wants us to know that he died for us, gave up his life for us voluntarily. Nobody forced him. He did it, well, I have to say it again. He did it because he loves you. There's no other way to say this. The Good Shepherd loves you. His wayward, nearsighted, hard-headed sheep. He loves you so much, and he loves me too. Now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us sing together the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
We continue our worship by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, you declared to us that you are the good shepherd and that we are the sheep. We ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you quiet our minds, that you humble our hearts, that you empower us so that we can hear your voice over the fears and the doubts of this world. Grant us your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we do pray for your healing power among your people. Today, we lift up in particular John Jenke, Gladys Denahay, and Sophie, who has been diagnosed with COVID. Watch over these three. Give your healing and strength to them. But Lord, we also have others that we hold in our hearts. We raise them now to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. On this day, Lord God, after this week of court cases and verdicts and all the things that have brought us to where we are today, we pray for justice and peace in our world. We ask that you give us the power to work to resolve these societal issues that continue to divide us. Guide us and lead us. Help us in all humility to really seek some answers in this world and to work toward your goodness and your life. Help us to listen to you, Good Shepherd, and to follow where you will lead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for and joyful for on this day. We are celebrating with the Wiarda family at the birth of Bella Rose, their new baby daughter. We ask that you be with Lauren as she continues to strengthen and heal from giving birth. Be with Anthony as he continues to be the best papa that he can be to his children. And we also ask that you surround the big brother of this story, that you be with Sawyer, that you uphold him and help him to be everything that you want us to be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we also celebrate with the Strother family at the baptism of Alexander James AJ. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you protect this precious child of yours and guide him through life, that you raise him up in the faith, that you support his mother and his father, that John and Stephanie, that they are able to provide for him the guidance and the love that he needs to grow into who you want him to be. Bless this family. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. At this point in the service, as we've been doing during this whole time of the pandemic, we continue with the offering. So I'd ask that you take a moment and listen. Listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. He's calling you. We continue our worship with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away the sin of the world, who in dying has destroyed death and who in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, the earth, the sea, and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Another time, our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. Amen." And the glory. I forgot, and the glory, if you're keeping track at home. It all belongs to God. Now I'd ask that you take your bread and hear the words, "This is the body of Christ given for you." "And this is the blood of Christ shed for you." I'd invite you to receive the blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer the darkness, water to give us new life, and the bread of life to nourish us, your people. We ask that you send us forth to be witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show forth your glory and your joy to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us."
Just be
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace and share the good news. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.